Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ion Exchange India Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Ion Exchange India Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the third quarter and 9 months ended of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Ankur Patni, Executive Director, Mr. Vasant Naik, Group Chief Financial Officer, Mr. N. M. Randeve, Group Head of Financial Planning and Risk Management, and Mr. Milind Puranik, Company Secretary. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Vasant Naik to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, everybody. It is a pleasure to welcome you to the earnings conference call for the third quarter and 9 months ended of the financial year 2023. For the third quarter under review, on a consolidated basis, the company reported operating income of INR 5121 million, an increase of around 32% year-on-year and 14% Q&Q. EBITDA reported was INR 625 million, an increase of 46% year-on-year and 17% Q&Q. EBITDA margin stood at 12.2% and net profit after tax was INR 477 million, an increase of around 1% year-on-year and 23% quarter-on-quarter, while the PAT margin improved to 9.31%. For the 9 months of financial year 2023, on a consolidated basis, the operating income stood at INR 13,421 million, an increase of 24% year-on-year. The EBITDA stood at INR 1,486 million, an increase of around 26% year-on-year, and the EBITDA margin was reported at 11.07%. Profit after tax stood at 1,138 million, an increase of 45% on a year-on-year basis, and the PAT margin percentage improved to 8.48%. Let me now take you through the quarterly segmented performance on a consolidated basis. In the engineering division, the revenue for the quarter was INR 3,263 million, an increase of around 51% year-on-year. The EBIT for this segment was INR 310 million, an increase of 174% year-on-year. The company witnessed steady order flow both in the domestic and international markets. While the execution of the Sri Lanka order remains significantly affected, the company has discussions for expediting the project closure, and the discussions are continuing on an acceptable way forward. On the other hand, execution of the UP Jal Nigam project is progressing satisfactorily and revenue has been recognized based on work completion. Also, execution of the other engineering orders picked up pace during the quarter and we expect the trend to continue on the back of the increased order flows and backlog. The order book as of 31st December 2022 stood at approximately 1,637 crores. This excludes the Sri Lanka and the UP Jal Nigam and the recent IOCL order which we had announced on 2nd of. If we add to the order book of 1,637 crores, our total order book would be approximately 2,923 crores. And we also have a big pipeline of 8,400 crores. With this, we have a strong visibility for the next 2 to 3 years from the engineering segment and we are well placed to undertake a significant increase pace of execution in the engineering quarter. Moving to the chemical division, the revenue for the quarter was INR 1,515 million, which which increased to around 3% year-on-year. The EBIT was INR 378 million, increased by 23% on a year-on-year basis. The sales in the domestic segment continued to record steady growth, while the export volume remained muted. This segment witnessed improved margins aided by stability in the input costs. Lastly, in the consumer division, the revenue for the quarter was INR 457 million, an increase of around 30% year-on-year. The loss for the quarter was INR 15 million. This segment continues to record steady top-line growth. And just a small correction, the order book after adding the IOCL orders, the UP Jal Nigam and the Sri Lanka order will be around 3,648 crores. With this, we can now open the floor for the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. First question is from the line of Chetan from Abacus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations for the good side of numbers. Sir, wanted to ask on the engineering front, okay, what has been the execution on account of the UP project for the quarter and that will be at what margins?
The UP execution for this quarter was around 46 crores. And as regards the margin, as we have mentioned in the earlier con call, we don't get into the specifics of the contract level margin.
Okay. And the capital employed in the engineering division has increased by close to 130 crores quarter on quarter. So that will be towards what thing?
Primarily, it is we have to take care of the execution in the fourth quarter. There has been a slight build-up in the inventory levels. And also because of the higher turnover, the debtor levels have also increased.
Okay. And the UP execution, the last quarter it was, I think so, it was close to 76 crores. So this quarter the billing has been lesser. Yeah, is it right to surmise?
No, last quarter was around 48 crores. And the cumulative for the 9 months, it is 121 crores.
And by when the traction in the execution will start happening? From because the order book is quite high and we have to execute it in a span of 2 months, lesser than two years. So what would be the from which quarter the execution will start ramping it up?
You're talking specifically of the UP order?
Yeah, UP. Yeah.
Yeah, we expect the traction to pick up from the fourth quarter onwards.
Okay. Thank you. And can you elaborate, how the Sri Lankan project right now, we are not doing any work. So how this thing will be getting unfolded in the coming time? Or it will be a status quo and how much money is yet to be received from the Sri Lankan project?
The pace of execution on the Sri Lankan order has almost come to a standstill. While there are continuing discussions between the Indian government, the Sri Lankan government, as well as Exim Bank and IMF, the other agencies involved in restructuring of the debt of that country, we remain in touch with all concerned agencies, and we can only state that we are getting positive overtones from these discussions. But as of now, till the situation reaches a conclusion which is acceptable to all these agencies, there would be the fund flow to the Sri Lankan projects will remain extremely constrained, and hence our project execution also would be going at a very, very slow pace.
Okay. And on the engineering margin front, the last quarter four of FY22, we had posted 19% margin because of the strong the revenue growth. So, and 9 months so far, our EBIT margins on the engineering front is close to 6.7%. So, are we on track to achieve that 10% guidance, what you had said as a full year?
We still believe that we will reach close to the double-digit figure for the full year.
Okay. Thanks for that. And next, on the chemical front, can you update on the greenfield update the thing, you know, how it is been getting progress, because we are awaiting for the EC thing. And that was the first thing. And the second thing is the margins in the chemical division has been quite good. So the sustainability on that. Yeah, the two questions from my end. Thank you.
We are still awaiting the environmental clearance for our project. So there's no movement on that front, unfortunately. As it stands, we remain expectant that it can happen anytime. Once it starts, as we had indicated earlier, it will take roughly about a year and a half for the plant to get commissioned. So we are looking at around the last middle or last quarter of 24-25.
Okay. And on the margins front?
We've seen improvement in the margins, and this has happened because of the stability in input prices. And hopefully, you know, the stability as well as lack of disruption in supply chains would get sustained. If that happens, our feeling is that for the full year, we should be able to maintain the current levels or improve it further.
For the full year FY23, which is 24% margin, what you did for the quarter, yeah?
Yes, so for the full year, we should be able to get to a margin which is similar to what we have achieved now.
Okay.
And maybe improve it a little bit.
Okay. And the next year also, we would like to do that number.
Yes, this margin is quite sustainable, barring some unforeseen movements in raw material prices or some other unprecedented events. But per se, it is quite sustainable.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's it for my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Sharma from Quantum Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is regarding the new order that we got for IOCL. When we can see the execution of that order starting?
The execution of that order would start very, very soon. The contract is for completing the execution in a 24-month period. And as of now, since we've just received the order, in the next couple of weeks, the action on that contract will start in earnest.
Okay. And my second question is regarding the chemical sector. See, I think our growth has somewhat stalled, because if you look at the Y-on-Y growth is just 3%, and Q-on-Q actually is a decline by 5%. So what's the challenges that we are facing, and what's the future growth projection in the chemical segment?
Chemical segment is doing quite well on the domestic front. As such, we are seeing good growth numbers, and as you would be seeing, the margins are also doing well. On the international front, however, since two of our important markets are the North American markets as well as Europe, those two markets continue to be slightly constrained, and we remain hopeful that it will recover soon enough. Once that happens, the growth should happen on both sides, which is domestic and international.
Okay. My last question is regarding the consumer product. Our revenue has increased by 30%, but on a margin, there is a decline of almost 200-300 basis points. So what's the reason for the decline in EBIT margin?
Overall, the consumer segment is doing well on the uptake of the new products. We are getting good traction, as we have been disclosing on the previous calls. We expect that the top-line growth will remain quite good. As far as the margins on EBIT level are concerned, we are now investing a little bit more to ensure growth in coming quarters. And some of the expenditures which have been made in the current quarter are oriented to improve the top line as well as overall operations of the company in the coming period. So that accounts for a slight dip which you have seen. Overall, we are quite happy with the prospects of the segment.
Thank you. Mr. Sharma, may I request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions? Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Akshat Mehta from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding this advances that you've received over the last 6 years, because of which the working capital is negative. And I believe 5 years back you said that these were mainly pertaining to Sri Lanka project. So I just want to understand if these advances also relate to some other project and what is the sustainability of those advances, you know, going forward.
Vasant, can you come in on that question?
All engineering EPC contracts typically will have a certain percentage as advance, and as the engineering order book increases or sustains at the current level, the advances will keep on coming in. It's not only related to a specific Sri Lanka order, but all other large EPC orders or even the medium-sized orders always has a certain percentage as a mobilization advance.
Okay. So, I mean, do you have some kind of a run rate that you can, you know, share that going forward, let's say 3,000 crores is your order book right now. So, what will be the kind of advances that we'll receive? What will your percentage maybe?
Typically, for a engineering contract, the advance is in the region of around 10%.
10% of the total advance, total... contract value, yes.
Perfect.
Okay. Secondly, I just want to understand that in quarter three, we've seen a sharp dip in your gross margins on a year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter basis. So what is the what are the drivers for that dip in gross margin?
Can you please repeat that question? Are you talking of a cost? Gross margin?
Yeah, we are talking about gross margin. In quarter three, your gross margin have come down to around 37%. So there has been a decline year on year as well as quarter on quarter in gross margin. So what is the key driver of that?
No, as the share of the engineering segment increases, typically that has a higher cost structure compared to a chemical segment where the cost structure is more towards the operation and other expenses, while in the engineering segment it's more towards the COGS side. So as the share of the engineering segment increases, there will be some deviation in the overall cost structure at the gross margin level.
Okay, so that is not on account of some, you know, cost lag effect that we are not able to pass on, correct? That is purely on account of change in mix.
If you see for the quarter, the engineering segment contributed around 61%.
Yes.
It's almost 5 to 6% more than what was there in the earlier.
Okay. Another thing that I wanted to understand is, you know, are any of the projects currently that are there in the order book, you know, multilaterally funded?
Other than the Sri Lanka project, which is funded by Exim Bank of India, there are no other projects.
No other projects are multilaterally funded. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Mehta, is that answer your question? Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. And congratulations, sir, for a very strong execution and also the beginning of this process of consolidating a wholly owned subsidiary. So my first question on the engineering, I believe the IOCL orders which we won, the 350 crores and the subsequent 750 crores, I believe this is the first time that we have won a ZLD order for a refinery. If you can just throw some more light of what is driving this, what the opportunity can be regarding the refinery orders.
Thank you for the compliments, Pratik. Yes, certainly this is a momentous order for us. But not the first ZLD. We have executed quite a few ZLDs in the past. This certainly is one of the largest in the industrial segment, and we look forward to more opportunities from the refinery and other segments in India. As you would know, that there is quite a bit of a push on the front of environment management by all companies, and especially the larger PSUs have been quite proactive on this front. So the investments are coming not only with respect to new capacities or expansions, the investments are also coming to ensure that the technologies are upgraded on the older plants. So a lot of brownfield investments in ZLD and other such technologies. The prospects look very good. Thank you.
Great. So any color on how much of the refining capacity that we have has already been covered under ZLD? I mean, the opportunity size available?
I would not be able to give you an exact number on that, Pratik, right now, but certainly our team can get back to you at a later date.
Sure. And so my second question on chemical, I mean, like you highlighted, due to some reason, we are seeing, at least in the near term, we are seeing subdued volume offtake. But given our stated ambition of doubling the capacity in the first phase and then taking it to 3X, can you just maybe qualitatively highlight what are those signals that you are receiving from our customers in Europe and North America? I mean, what is giving us this optimism that after a long time, we are going on such a ambitious capex, at least on the chemical side?
I'll say the growth momentum which we had on international chemical sales was quite good till we hit a sort of a stumbling block on account of COVID and because of the ongoing war in the eastern part of Europe. We do believe that the kind of acceptance that our products have got in that market, continued positive feedbacks from the distribution chain as well as from the final customers, and indeed our own appreciation of the specific requirements in the different markets and of different customers. All this are coming together in a very nice way, and I am more than sure that it will translate into much bigger numbers in the coming years. Unfortunately, as we have been saying over the last couple of quarters, that the situation in Europe has not been favorable for a very fast increase in the revenues coming from that market. But having said that, our expectations remain that in the coming quarters, the growth momentum in both North America and Europe will pick up, and that would provide a very good fillip to our aspirations.
And so this will re-clarify this. We had guided for some 30-35% growth for FY23. This is at a consolidated level, right?
That's right.
Okay. So last quarter will be very, very strong. Great. Oh, okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Dixit from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just wanted to understand on this Sri Lankan exposure. Do we need to make any provisions? Have we made any provisions?
Randhiri, can you briefly comment on that?
Can you repeat the question, please?
On the Sri Lankan project, is there any need, do we need to make any provisions for whatever, you know, if there are any debts or anything? Is there any provisions required for the Sri Lankan project?
Right now, we do not anticipate that eventuality of making the provision. And in every quarter, we take our exposure. And as you are aware of it, we are not being invoicing. The progress of the job is much standstill only, and only our retention money is lying with the bankers, with the water board.
So there is no debtors out there on the Sri Lanka project.
No, right now there is no need to make a provision.
Thank you. That answers the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ruchita Kadge from iWealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Very good afternoon, sir. So my question was on the chemical front. So at the current capacity that you have, what is the revenue potential in it? So first, I would like to know about that, if you could. Hello.
At current capacity levels, given that we are continuously upgrading our product mix towards more value addition, and also that we are in a continuous process of modular expansion of capacities and for specific product lines, we can expect that from the current levels, we would be able to deliver almost 50% kind of a growth based on current capacities only. This is for the chemical segment as a whole.
Okay. And on the consumer business, I wanted to know that the production of these purifiers, are you outsourcing it or are you making it in-house?
The purifiers, we have a vendor who provides us on an exclusive basis based on the inputs that we give to them. This is for the smaller equipments. The larger equipments are all made in-house.
Okay, sir. And how is the distribution done?
The distribution, we have multiple channels that we use for it, which includes direct sales channel. We also go through distributors and also tap on the retail chains.
Okay. And so this 60% growth that you said in the chemical side of it, that is sufficient for, you know, the kind of growth that you're expecting till this greenfield capacity comes in?
Yes, roughly around 50% is what I indicated to you based on in the current capacities. But we are also, as I mentioned, continuously in the mode of upgrading our facilities where required, to fine-tune our product mix towards more value addition. We were certainly hoping that the clearance for our expansion, region expansion project would have come in earlier. But as of now, it seems that at least for the next year, we should be reasonably okay in terms of our growth plans.
Okay, understood.
Thank you, Ms. Karge. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions, sir. Firstly, on the bid pipeline, you did mention about 8,000 crore is the bid pipeline. So if you could give us some color on the success ratio, what percentage should be penciling in on a bid pipeline of 8,000?
As we've been saying and maintaining over the past few quarters, typical success rate on the bid pipeline is around 20%.
Okay, and what should be the timeline, sir? This bids closer. This is on a rolling basis, I think.
This is on a rolling basis. The smaller projects in the pipeline, they tend to close much faster. They could be between 3 to 6 months. The larger projects would typically take between 6 to 18 months.
Sir, just on a ballpark number and on a very conservative basis, what kind of order book built-up we can expect on a quarterly run rate, sir? Just to take into account the optimist scenario in the bid pipeline, on a conservative basis, what should be the fillers we can work our numbers with the in order intake, confirm order intake?
See, on an overall basis, we can make assumptions based on our current offer bank. And further to that, there are a few opportunities which would come within the quarter and close within it also. So it may not necessarily get reflected in the quarterly disclosures of the offer bank.
Right.
We are witnessing uptick in terms of the order conversions that we have been getting in the current year. As you would probably have noticed, the current year's order intake would place us in a position to declare for the full year one of the highest order intakes which we have had if we exclude the extraordinary order of Sri Lanka. So if one takes that out of the equation, then probably this year would end up being one of the best in terms of order intake. And I would expect this trend towards improving order books to continue into the next year and thereafter. Hence, to give a run rate based on the past would probably not be the best way to look at it. Further to that, you know, sometimes a large order conversion happens in one big lump. 700-800 crore order, as we just declared, that would create a big skew in a particular quarter and would not really follow the average run rate that we've been speaking about.
So we can work on for a maybe for a at least multi-year projection from this engineering segment. It is not a one or two years business that we are currently looking into. We can very well look into the visibility even going ahead, depending upon current business scenario.
Absolutely. The current order book itself is looking at we should be expecting this to get executed over a period of 2 to 3 years. As we keep converting the opportunity pipeline, my guess would be we should be looking at further improvements in the order book as we go forward. We are getting good response both from the domestic market as well as from the international markets. So if we factor both of these in, this is not a short-term phenomenon. it is certainly something which the global market opportunities offer to us over at least a 5 to 7 year period. I don't see that those opportunities are going to dampen.
Right. Sir, and traditionally, we have always observed that H2 and especially quarter four, the execution cycle is, there is a good ramp up. And also, I think in the first quarter, if I'm not wrong, you did articulate the fact that you're building up the teams in order to improve the pace of execution. So going by the last year numbers or last year percentage of revenue booked under the engineering, there is a very likelihood that we can look forward for even a stronger execution cycle for the coming fourth quarter also, as has been the case historically. We can take a reasonable expectation there.
Yes, certainly the fourth quarter will see much higher levels of execution than we've seen till now.
Thank you. Mr. Kapoor, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Sunil Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and my hearty congratulations for such a good number and consolidation we have started in subsidiaries. Sir, my question is on, I understand you won't be able to disclose or maybe analyze fully opportunity of this JLD and PSU's water opportunity. But what I understand is now this is the first time IOC has started with this size of project, this type of ZLD and so many technical involved water-related cleaning projects. India across has many refineries. All the power plants also use so much water. So if you can just try to analyze, may not be in a revenue or order possibilities, but say size of refineries, number of plants, number of power plants, those will be also, I think, supposed to be converted in slowly generally, because government is the only agency which can trigger this activity. Otherwise, private sector will not follow this. So your thought process will be really helpful.
Thank you for the question, Sunilji. Yes, we are seeing action from the PSUs. IOC in itself is a very large organization, and we are just talking about one refinery here. They are in the process of looking at any and every opportunity where they can go greener, and we expect others apart from IOC also to be doing expenditures on environment technologies at a faster pace. They certainly have been PSUs as a whole, driven by the central government policies, have been one of the more proactive entities on this front. But having said that, it is not that the private sector is really lagging. A lot of the large entities, when we look across India, have been taking very progressive steps to ensure that their respective entities comply with the highest level or highest standards in terms of environmental compliances and, you know, way beyond that. We are certainly standing at a threshold where the country as a whole will witness significant strides towards a much greener and much more responsible industrial attitude towards the environment, and I am hopeful that this IOC order is just one beginning to substantially improve flow from similar organizations in the future.
We have started, I mean, adding
sorry
some...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Kothari. There was some audio loss. Please repeat your question.
Yeah. So, sir, I just wanted to check is how well prepared are we in terms of the manpower or engineering capabilities? Are we doing enough to, because the opportunity seems to be very large. So what preparation are we doing? If you can say whatever possible.
Yes, we continue to invest in people, in systems, and in other resources to ensure that we are geared up to take on the upcoming opportunities. This is a continuous process. There is a degree of flexibility which one can have in executing these projects. So it's not that you have to have all the people in your organizations in advance. There we get an opportunity to expand the workforce for contract specific executions. But in as far as the infrastructure goes, we have been working on it to get ourselves geared for much larger scale of operations than we are currently in. I can confidently say that with the capabilities that we have added over the last couple of years, we are geared to take in a much higher level of execution than what we are currently doing, and we are in a continuous process of augmenting them further.
Thank you. Mr. Kothari, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Tushar Ragatate from Kamayakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations for your good set of numbers. So my question is on the engineering division. So now we are getting a larger ticket size contract. So I just want to understand the guidance which you gave for the current year. Will that be maintained near to the range of 20 to 30% going forward, looking at the current scenario, the order book which you are seeing?
Yes, for the year as a whole, we are maintaining the guidance of a 30% growth in the top line.
No, so my question is for the next financial year, considering the bid pipeline, are we confident enough to maintain that growth guidance?
For the next financial year, I'm not giving out a guidance as yet, but directionally, I can say that the order book that we have needs to get executed over a period of 2 to 3 years, and that itself would indicate that the next couple of years has to be quite strong. We will be adding more orders to this, and I am quite hopeful that the next couple of years also will be quite good.
Fair enough, sir. So my second question is on the execution of UP project. But in the percentage terms, the execution seems to be very less. So is it fair to assume that the heightened expectation, this execution will be in the H2 of the contract? Like any big contract you take for near to 2 to 3 years, is it fair to assume that the larger execution will happen in the H2 of that respective contract?
Yes, the execution tends to be, the invoicing for the contract tends to be a little bit skewed towards the later part, because in the initial few weeks or months, there's a lot of pre-engineering designing and mobilization and those kind of things which happen. Ultimately, the invoicing would happen when things start moving on the ground. So that takes a little bit of a time. There is a bulge which would come somewhere in the middle. And thereafter, as the contract moves towards closure, the invoicing will again become lesser. So instead of saying that it is rear-ended, I would rather say it is a little bit more towards the center of the contract.
Thank you. Mr. Ragatte, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Agrawal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Hi, Ankur and team. Congrats on another consistent quarter. First thing just wanted to understand was around the Portugal subsidy. Is that a European company that we have acquired, or is it something we are setting up ourselves? And then kind of what is the scope of the business we are looking at there? Is that for an EPC kind of business or something in the chemical space?
The European subsidiary that we have reported is a subsidiary which we have set up, and that subsidiary would be looking at all businesses. Currently, the major focus would be towards the chemical segment. Having said that, we are looking at, we are actively looking at acquisitions in the European and in other markets, including India, and we are in relatively advanced stages of discussions on some of these. So once those happen, they will add to our overall kitty and reach to these respective markets.
Got it. So these would be manufacturing opportunities that we would be setting up or acquiring? So like actual manufacturing on the ground in Europe?
Yes, this would aid our manufacturing abilities in the continent also once they reach that stage of maturity.
Understood. Got it. Thanks. And then the next one was, again, on the wastewater industrial treatment side. You already spoke a bit about the opportunity and kind of, you know, the change you're seeing in the mindset from companies to adopt these practices. Just wanted to double-click a bit more on that. Has there been a drastic shift in the government laws and enforcement from the Environmental Ministry to actually start enforcing this? So that was one, is to understand, you know, is there actually a drastic change in the laws which will kind of push this? Or is it more just being driven by promoters becoming more ESG-friendly themselves and sort of the PSU in case of like IOCL setting the benchmark there for private sector to follow?
It's a mix of everything. There is certainly much more awareness today amongst the industry captains about what they should be doing for the environment. A lot of it is being driven through the commentary by the various industrial bodies and associations, as also on the international front, being driven by the various announcements through agencies like the COP26 or the COP28 that we are talking about. So that certainly aids a lot to push initiatives in this front. As far as the government regulations go or the keenness with which the authorities have been trying to enforce these regulations, the regulations have been quite tight from quite some time. As we increase in maturity of implementing these regulations, our infrastructure to monitor and control the various parameters associated with these implementations, that ability has gone up. As we go further, the intent of government would help, certainly, but the overall ability of the administration to measure, monitor, and control the implementation would keep going up. And the incentive for the industries to not comply will keep going down, because more and more the investors and the consumers are also asking for environmentally friendly products and processes. So it's a whole which is impacting it, not just one or two of these things.
Thank you. Mr. Agrawal, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Agam Shah from an individual investor. Please go ahead. The current participant has placed the line on hold. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Akshat Mehta from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Mehta, please proceed with your question.
Yes, so I just wanted to understand another thing. That, you know, in terms of, so you have all these large projects that are coming in, but can you share some details on what would be the average run rate of, you know, smaller projects on a quarterly or a yearly basis, you know, what kind of, you know, run rate that would be.
For the smaller projects, on a yearly basis, Ranjini, would you be able to give a broad kind of a number? For a, on a yearly basis, I think we are looking at somewhere around an engineering revenue of roughly 400 to 500 crores, and these contracts tend to, some of these contracts tend to be as short as about a month or 2 months, and on the higher side, these contracts could be around 6 to 12 months. So these do move at a fast pace and not necessarily visible in our quarterly disclosures. Randeep, please correct the number if that's off.
No, your whatever explained is right, and this keep on coming, and the turnaround time is from the 1 month to 2 months for the smaller jobs, and small to medium, this will be at the most 6 months time.
Okay. And again, I just want to understand, you know, on the chemical segment side, you know, your margin improved a lot in FY21, you know, from around 15% to 20-24%. So what was the key driver of that, you know, sharp improvement in margin in FY21?
And going back to 21 is a long stretch, as you would have noticed. In spite of a couple of bad years in between, the recovery of the margins back to the levels of yester years has been quite good. And my belief is that we will be able to sustain these numbers going forward. But I'll give a broad response to the kind of improvement that we have seen from around 15-16% levels to 20% plus level. One of the things which has contributed is, of course, that we have improved operational efficiencies and operational throughput. The second has been the improvement in the product mix that we've been having. Certainly made rapid improvements on controlling our costs on various fronts and improving our efficiencies and yield in our various plants. So a lot of factors have gone in to make sure that the profits are at a higher keg. And certainly stable input prices have helped to maintain these margins without leakages happening because of supply chain issues.
Thank you. Mr. Mehta, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Janice Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, congratulations on the
set of numbers. Mr. Shah, sorry to interrupt you. The audio is unclear from your line. Please use the handset mode.
Is it clear?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions, especially one on the international opportunity that you spoke about. We have seen last number of large size projects which we have won, largely from the domestic market. However, you always alluded that there are opportunities which you are pursuing in the international market. If you can just update what kind of situation out there, given that the world is, the economies are going through an uncertain periods, and how are we placing? And second question is, as you just mentioned that you are looking at acquisition opportunities, could we just get some sense about which are the areas which you are trying to plug and what kind of a budget which we have assigned for that equations or for the equation purposes, Chan. Thank you.
The international market opportunities, there isn't really much to report on an update, but yes, we have been pursuing some large opportunities, and these are in the infrastructural segment of various countries, the target geographies being Middle East, Southeast Asia, and as well as Africa. The current economic scenario and the scenario which has prevailed for the last couple of years has not been the most productive as far as these opportunities go. But as we have been maintaining in the past, there is slow progress on almost all of these. But it's very uncertain to really make a remark as to when exactly this would culminate into an order. We remain hopeful, but we prefer not to lead on to a period or a forecast for the next few quarters. Once it happens, certainly we will come out and make a disclosure. As far as creation,
just to add up to this, does bid pipelines generally do contain this kind of opportunities, or is it without that?
No, the bid pipelines do not reflect these opportunities.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, go ahead, sir.
You had put a question on the acquisitions. We are not looking at very large acquisitions. These are small acquisitions in the sub 10 million, so that's why I'm saying small acquisitions. The target being better reach into the various geographies that we are looking at, maybe some technology related improvements also, and creating a manufacturing stroke marketing base in the geographies that we intend to make acquisitions.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramaswamy from IR Investments. Please.
Namaskaram, Mr. Patni and the management. Heartiest congratulations for the excellent set of numbers. My question is that India is becoming a semiconductor hub. Any improved visibility are you finding from the semiconductor sector? Because water, purified water, is one of the components there. So if you kindly elaborate on it. Thank you very much, sir.
Looking at various opportunities emanating from the semiconductor and related industries in India, we are actively working on it and hope that the industry would give us good numbers in the coming quarters.
And if I may ask, currently do we supply to any semiconductor industry, anything executed there?
Yes, there are contracts and there are contracts.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. N.M. Ranadive from IIFL Limited for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. Thank you all for participating in this earnings call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ion Exchange India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.